This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's the first Friday of the month, and it is the day we usually talk about dogs here on the Afternoon Magazine. And dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are back with us this month. It's good to see them. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to answer our questions about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. You can join us this afternoon with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. And toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Been a while since we've seen you. Nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Last time I was here, it was December 3rd. Well, it wasn't even winter.
No, it was still nice. You're right.
Thank you.
And we were anticipating Christmas, and now it's March, and
it's still
the weather's worse than it was in December.
And you know, the world hasn't changed at all.
So how are you, and how are the dogs?
Everybody's fine. I think they're getting tired of this weather, too.
But not Jim's dogs. The Malamutes, he's got Malamutes.
No, well, I concluded that there are four seasons out at Poker Flat. There's warm, mud, cold, and mud. And we're in the mud season right now.
Yeah.
That's, cold is spilling over a little bit, but as soon as the cold is gone, it'll be mud. It's already been mud.
It's been mud.
It'll go back again.
And I haven't had an opportunity to get out and clean up the yard, and any other dog owners out there listening, we're grateful, as I was, for this most recent little snowfall because it hid what's under there.
Yeah. Well, what do you say? You put on your headphones?
Oh, you have somebody already, huh?
I'm going to talk with a listener. We're going to go and talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah,
I have three questions that because I have three dogs. They're all border collies, and they all have a slightly different issue. The dogs are basically around 4 or 5 years old. They've all had obedience classes. Two of them have their canine good citizen. They do agility and things like that. And one of the dogs, who has a canine good citizen, her issue is she won't come, especially under circumstances where she knows she's not supposed to be loose, like if she gets loose or something like that. She'll come if it's like out in the middle of the woods where she knows she's just going to be running around some more. And I have worked with her and worked with her. I give her treats when she comes, and she still is, she'll just defy me. She'll, like, I can get within a couple feet of her, and then she just bolts. And then another one of the dogs, he tends to nip at skateboarders, rollerbladers, bicyclists. And I don't know if there's anything I can do about that since he's a border collie. And the last, all these dogs have come from either the shelter or from rescue, I might add, as young dogs. And the last one, he bites. And he seems to bite, he has really, like, he's food aggressive, and he also has an issue with people that, like, we have to be very careful. If somebody he doesn't know comes to our house, we have to tell him, don't pet him, don't reach out at him. He won't just go up and bite somebody, but he'll bite them if they reach out to pet him and he doesn't know them. Once he knows them, everything is fine. So I just, we got him from the shelter because of his issues, obviously. They were going to euthanize him, and we've done a lot of work with Border Collie Rescue. So do you have any solutions for those three problems? Because, like I said, all these dogs have had obedience classes. We work with them a lot and everything else.
Well, I'll tackle one question.
I feel like we're confronting the Sphinx. So
do we know you?
We have to answer.
Do you know us?
The riddles three. These are tough problems.
They are tough problems. The one that with the bicyclists and the skateboarders and, you know, I mean, it's a border collie, so it's a herding thing. If they're on lead, I think that would help eliminate that problem. I'm assuming you walk them on a leash when they see or encounter these things.
Yes, but once in a while, when we're out somewhere, way out, and he's off leash. I mean, I've had just where out of the blue, like a bicyclist to come along or something, like a mountain biker or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really. As long as he's not harming the people and they don't freak out and fall off their bike, all you can do is call the dog back to you at that point. But the instinct to chase and herd is, as you know, quite prevalent.
Right. So is there any way to discourage him from, I mean, because it also kind of freaks little kids out.
Oh, sure.
Even if he's on a chain or something, he.
When I was, first grade or maybe second grade, I was riding my bike, and dogs weren't confined as they are now. And a German Shepherd came out and was chasing me. And the people were telling me that he wouldn't hurt me. Well, you try and tell a 6-year-old on a bike that this dog that's as big as her bike wasn't going to hurt her. And it was quite a while before I even would venture down that street again. I can't think of an adequate solution for that other than to keep them on lead.
It's too instinctual.
If you know the dog is going to chase skaters or bikers, if you know the dog won't come back, then you shouldn't let him loose. Do you have flexi leads?
Flexi leads.
The retractable leash.
Retractable lead.
I don't walk him on that. No. But he is good at recall. That is his one.
Well,
he's very good at recall.
If in terms of training, I think chasing is actually the easiest thing to deal with. And that is this: get somebody, set out an hour or so of your weekend, get somebody to go by your dog while he's on lead. Uh-huh. Or a flexi or a long rope or something, and have them skateboard by or drive by. The dog's going to chase them. You give the dog a lead correction, just like you're training them to, in obedience, and call them and, give them a steak dinner when he gets to you. And do that.
Hundreds of times.
A lot of times, I said an hour, I wouldn't do it that long,
No.
4 or 5 times, then the next day do it again, so that the dog understands first that you can call him off of something like this. Once they see something like that, something moving, they almost have to chase it, their DNA says go after it. And they're really not going to listen to you if you just say, hey, come back here. So they really have to be trained to come off of a bike or to come off of something like that.
Okay. He'll actually stop chasing a rabbit if I call him. But
well, that's remarkable.
That's good.
Yeah, but the skateboarders and the rollerbladers are like another level of excitement above a rabbit for him.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of, you're obviously a good trainer. Train him. Take the time out and train him.
Yeah,
don't wait for the random, I'm walking along and suddenly out of the blue comes this thing. Don't wait for that. You set up the situation yourself and so that you control not only when it happens, but you can control the rewards and things like that.
Yeah, he won't even think about not listening to you if you do it correctly.
What about the dog that won't come, who has her canine good citizen?
That's
she'll come in class and things like that.
Well, that's
well. What are the circumstances where she won't come? Are you with the other dogs at that time?
I can be, but they'll come. She won't. It's like if for example, if she gets out of the house off leash or something like that, she knows she's not supposed to be loose in the neighborhood, but she won't come back.
Well, point number one, in terms of being dog trainers, what dogs know, we don't know. She doesn't know she's not supposed to be loose in the neighborhood. The concept of neighborhood is something that's probably pretty much lost on a dog. What she does know is that, your tone of voice as you call her to come back isn't the normal tone of, the happy mom tone of voice. There's usually that little edge to it, which is enough for her to say, I better not go back. Once again, you want to do training situations, but you can't really train for this. I'm going to let the dog go. And You don't want to do that. What I would do,
long leash type thing, where you have a really long leash.
She knows when, you know, she knows when she's on a leash.
Yes.
What I would do,
she knows when she's in agility class. She knows when she's
exactly. If she gets loose, I would take one of the other dogs on lead, go out, and as soon as you see her, call the other dog, and just start giving the other dog food and praising it and everything. And this is kind of an emergency situation. It's not really a training situation.
Right.
But she says, wait a minute. Fred is getting cookies. I think I'll go over and join them. Probably that'll work as well as anything. Carol once got her dog to come back by sitting on the ground and crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've tried some. I can do things like go up and knock on somebody's door, and she thinks we're going to go visit that person. Mm-hmm. So she'll run over and go to the door.
We had a dog that if we opened the car door, she'd be running loose and wouldn't come back. We'd open the car door. She'd jump in the back seat. And
right.
We'd go, ha-ha, I got you.
The only
she never figured that out either.
Yeah, the only problem with them getting loose in the neighborhood is the danger of cars. And,
exactly.
And when Jim said you have an edge to your voice, it's more panic than anger.
Right.
And it's a different voice.
Because she won't run away. I can get in my car and start driving away, and she'll start running after me.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it is like
she doesn't want you to. She doesn't want you to
go off and leave her.
But it's,
she doesn't want you to put her on lead and take her back home.
It's fun
at that moment. Anyway,
to be loose and running. I mean, they don't know that there's danger. It's something different.
So in terms of training, it's very difficult to train against something that you don't want to have happen in the first place, because you can't set up the situation.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
What you can do, though, is in your backyard, which is fenced in, you can call all the dogs over to you at the same time and give them all cookies and do that frequently so that if she's out in front, you can put the other dogs on lead, go out and call them all to you and give them cookies, and she'll probably come over.
And, you know, when I'm teaching, and this is really elemental and you may do it, but when I'm teaching a recall to a class, before they put the lead on, they reach out and touch the dog's collar and give it a treat and then clasp mm-hmm. the lead on.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already got some control of your dog before you put the lead on.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying? How that?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's something that you have to learn to do and be consistent, but it does give you an extra level of control.
And so you can try that. You can, as I said, you can prepare for it by doing all this in the backyard under controlled situations. But the situation you're describing is one that you don't want to have happen. And
right.
And I know as well as any dog owner that if they want to get out the door, you have, you know, your taxes and your job and your wife and all this stuff on your mind. And the dog has one thing on its mind. I got to get out the door. So if you leave the door open for like half a second, they're gone. So it's easy to say, well, don't let your dog out. But
right.
I know it's hard.
She's pretty good at not bolting. But sometimes, you know, just like one time I left the door open. I totally didn't realize it was open. And I turned around and there she was going out the door. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't like she doesn't just bolt when I open the door. She's been taught not to do that. But she definitely takes advantage.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean.
She watches for every opportunity she has.
And that's, as I say, that's all they have on their minds. And we have so much more. In terms of the dog that nips at
the biting, the bite, he bites. Yeah. Does he draw blood when he bites or just?
Well, he has, fortunately it was a relative. Actually had to go in.
They may not think that was so fortunate.
I was going to say, it was a relative you didn't like. Yeah, that might be.
From a legal standpoint, it was, they had to go to the hospital and have stitches.
Yeah. See, that's.
The one thing good about this dog is he's extremely obedient. So at least we have control with him and in a lot of circumstances, you know.
I take it he's not intact, right?
They'd all be neutered.
Correct. He's not intact. No. He like I said, we got him from the shelter that way
mm-hmm.
because they were going to euthanize him, and we thought we could work with him. And he has improved tremendously. But
how bad was he when you got him then?
Pardon?
How bad was his behavior when you got him?
He would bite us.
Oh well.
But he doesn't do that anymore, and he just you know, he's a really well-behaved dog as far as obedience, and he's very smart. He learns all kinds of tricks and stuff. We don't know if he just had poor socialization. He came to the shelter at about 6 months of age.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we just, you know, and it would just be nice to figure out if there were other ways to try to...
And he's four or five now? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Where does he sleep?
He sleeps... sometimes on the bed, sometimes on the floor, depending on what he wants to do.
In the bedroom?
Correct.
Step number one with him, in fact, with all of them, but with him, is to get him out of the bedroom.
Okay.
He can have his own place to sleep, but it cannot be in your bedroom. When you feed, do you feed the dogs first before you eat or after?
Well, usually I feed them first because I don't eat for I eat late, so we eat late, and so the dogs will eat like at 5 or 6, and we don't eat till 8 or 9. So it's just because.
Okay. Well, what I would do then is before you feed the dogs, have some sort of snack right in front of them so they
uh-huh.
see you're eating first. These are all little dominance exercises, obviously.
Right.
I don't think that your dog's biting is dominance, but.
I think it's fear biting.
I think it absolutely is, and I think he's hand sensitive. If
he
people
is.
Go
he
to pet him, to I suspect it's hard to say based on dog behavior because a lot of it's hardwired and they have only limited responses anyway. But he may have been at the shelter because he was a rotten, no good dog biting people, and people hit him for that.
Well, he's picked up as a stray.
Probably as a puppy.
Yeah.
They may have
hit him, and when he sees a hand coming at him, his reaction is to bite. He's not sitting there thinking, I think I'll bite this person. It's just a reaction. And it's probably learned and be very difficult to unlearn.
But
I think steps toward that would be do the dominant stuff. Don't let him through the door first. You go through the door first.
Right. We do that.
You collect all of the toys, all of his toys, and because you have other dogs, everybody's toys. And you give them the toys when you think it's okay, and you take them away when... you know, if they have some infraction or if no infraction, just to show that you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You might keep a drag line on him if you're taking toys away. I always worry about biting dogs.
He doesn't have an issue at all with toys that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. But, you know, be careful. But do all these things to assert your dominance, and that might help a lot with the biting. But I think you'd really have to desensitize him to having hands come toward him.
Okay.
And that's...
Like I said, once he knows people, too, he's fine. It's just, it's like, if you know, he's extremely friendly and really cute, and people see him, and even on a leash, you say, please don't pet him.
Well,
and they reach out to try to, and you're like, don't, you know.
So he's not giving off any signals before he bites.
No.
He's wagging his tail and...
Not usually.
Yeah. Don't take this the wrong way, but I've always said if a dog pees in the house, they'll be euthanized. But here you have a dog that's bitten a relative so bad it had to go to the hospital, and your comments are, geez, a nice friendly dog. I think at some point you're going to have to recognize that the dog has a problem, and you're really going to have to keep him away from people until he gets over this problem. I mean, that's why you called.
But he's had it for 5 years.
I only make that as an observation that – I don't want you to be in denial about how much damage this dog can cause.
No, I'm not,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, it's a serious problem where he's biting people to the point where they have to go get attention.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask before. The bite that your relative incurred, was it on the hand or the arm?
Yes, it was on the hand.
Mm-hmm. On the hand, and so did he bite and let go?
Yes. They walked by and came up from behind him And he didn't know them very well at the point. It was the first time he'd met them, really. And put their hand on top of his head and kind of just, you know, reached out to touch the top of his head. And he bit and let go.
Okay. Well, that, if he'd bitten and hung on and kept biting, that's a whole different scenario. But Jim's right. I mean, this dog has some... Do you have any children at home?
No.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, children. I wouldn't trust him around children.
Yeah.
Although he really has never shown aggression towards anybody that you know, as long as people don't reach out to touch him, he's never shown aggression towards anybody, like where he just goes up to somebody. It's only when people approach him.
So when he gets to know somebody, does he allow them to pet him? Does he solicit?
Oh, yeah. He loves all our friends. He jumps all over them. They pet him. They throw toys for him.
So glad they came back to the house. Because it's kind of unnerving, you know.
It seems to be only in circumstances of strangers,
yeah.
and in particular women and children. Strange men, he doesn't seem to have this issue with, in the same way either.
Well, that's why I think there may be a dominance component there,
mm-hmm.
although I don't think it's all dominance.
So there's really, in some ways, is there any way to even work on this other than to just control his circumstances?
You're doing all that you can. You can't have people come over and get bitten.
Yeah.
You know, you can only get so many strangers to do that once, and the word's going to spread real fast. Don't go to her house.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's what when you're training, you set up the circumstances yourself, and you don't want to set up these circumstances. But if you do the anti-dominance things, you know, get him out of the bedroom, all those things, that should help.
Okay.
Another thing you can do when strangers come in is hug them in front of the dog.
Okay.
Dogs put a lot of stock in that, of touching.
How is she going to tell the stranger that she doesn't know that's coming to her house that she's going to hug this person?
Well, I would think she would be very cautious about who she lets in through the front
door.
Mm-hmm.
Right. People that come in, and if they're friends and they've been, it's the first time, we tell them, don't pet him, don't touch him, just he'll get to know you.
Does he bark, or does he even, what does he do when they come in the house? Just stand and?
Yeah, just usually runs up to him and jumps around him.
Oh, okay. So then it makes sense. They'd reach out to pet him, then he's gotcha.
Right.
I would also, I don't think this is a problem, but I'd have a vet go over him and make sure he doesn't have some persistent low-grade infection that just makes him cranky all the time or something.
Okay. Let me ask you one last question, then I'll let other people move along. But I did see something recently. This was about 3 months ago on TV, and it was a vet. I don't recall now where, but he found that if he cut dogs that had biting issues, if he cut their canines off to the same level as the rest of their teeth, that he had a huge percentage of success, that the dogs not only didn't bite anymore, but their whole personalities changed and they became much less aggressive. Do you know anything about any of this research?
Well, I don't know about research. The Eskimos in Greenland typically break off the canines of the dogs. And they still do. I mean, they've been doing it for eons, but they still do. It doesn't stop the dogs from fighting. It stops them from hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
But as you may know, dogs' teeth are fairly similar to ours. When you break them off, you're just going to have all kinds of root canal problems.
Well, this guy actually, though, he was a dog dentist. He would cut the teeth and then would seal them
and everything like that.
I have to go. I vaguely recall reading something mm-hmm. about that once, but I didn't remember that there was a notable success rate with that. But I'll have to go look that up again.
I'm not – the only thing I know is about Eskimos. And, of course, the Eskimos of Greenland put the dogs down when they're five, so they don't worry about these long-term tooth problems.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and dog trainers Carolyn Tolman and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon.
I want to know why they put the dogs down at age five. Have they used up their capacity for work?
Yeah, well, exactly. They're strictly working dogs. They're not pets up there, or they used to be. And that was just a kind of an arbitrary age that for the calories you're putting into the dog, you're not getting that much work out of them because they're getting older. And they're not sentimental about putting them down.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog behavior, and training. If you've got a question about dogs, give us a call, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. I had a question. Someone comes to the door, and this woman's at her home. Would putting the dog right then on a lead?
Oh, she'd have control of it, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's another possibility.
When Jim mentioned the drag line, that would be ideal.
Yeah. So, and then I also thought it would be useful to go over a few basic dog safety rules in terms of when to approach an animal and how an owner.
Well, see, this dog is giving off signals that would not be typical of a dog that's getting ready to bite you. So, in my opinion, he appears to a stranger that he's soliciting affection and attention, and you give it and you get bitten. And I have seen dogs like that don't give you. Most dogs you can read fairly easily. Yeah, I shouldn't say fairly easily because sometimes you can't. But if there's some ill will intended, you can pick up on it pretty quick. But this dog's giving off entirely different signals than what it's going to do.
Here's my point. Never approach an unfamiliar dog that's not on a lead, right?
Right.
Okay. So there's something to think about.
Right.
If you want to pet the dog, talk with the person who has the dog first.
Always.
Do not reach out.
Even adults. We tell children to do that, but adults should do the same thing.
And then I would look toward the dog for further, it's okay. Now, in this case, that might be a little iffy. And then the other thing is this dog seems to be sensitive, touch sensitive. So where do we pat the dog? Not on the head, right?
Never on the top of the head.
Never on the tail.
Under the chin or on the chest.
On the shoulders?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. On the chest?
Chest or under the chin. But
okay.
Yeah.
And
now you can put your own dog on the shoulder or top of the head.
How do you, in terms of making that move to touch the dog, how slowly do you want to put your hand out and how do you want to present the hand to the dog?
You know, we all were taught to give the dog the back of your hand, but your hand smells the same. So it's just something we learned.
Yeah.
But I would approach a strange dog slowly and under the chin,
and
even with permission.
Yeah. Okay.
I've in the class I'm assisting in now, we've got a hand shy dog, and even I, you know, I try to push it. So I've been giving this dog cookies, and then this week I tried to pat him on the head. He just reared back. He didn't try to bite me, but he just didn't want me to touch him.
And it's very annoying to a dog to be patted on the head.
It's been 5 weeks. I've been giving you cookies for 5 weeks.
Let's take another call now. A listener in Champaign, line one. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I have I believe she's about 6 months old, golden retriever that we rescued. We got her just at about 8 weeks, but because she was a rescue, we're not quite sure how old she is. She's been fixed, and as I'm sure you know, she's a very rambunctious dog. We have this problem, though. She will literally sit when we're on the couch in front of us and bark for 15 minutes straight at us. And I'm not quite sure how to curtail this habit.
The dog people laugh. Oh, isn't that cute?
It's annoying because I have my doodle does that to me. When she wants something, she'll bark. And if I, say, hey, I know you want something, but later, she'll just keep on barking. She doesn't care.
No, she doesn't. And I've done, I went on the internet, and of course it's, you shouldn't get this dog if you don't want to exercise it, if you don't want to hear it barking, and, never again adopt a dog because it's so cute. I walk
Goldens
her
2-3
times a day and try to get her a lot of exercise, and, I just don't know what to do about that. Is there anything I can do? She's in training.
She's just a puppy.
She's 6 months?
Yes, we think about 6 months.
Yeah. Where did you rescue her from?
Well, we went out to Danville to the pound out there to get a dog, and as we were in there picking one, a gentleman drove up in a pickup truck who had 11 puppies in the back, who said they had been abandoned on his property and wanted to get rid of them.
Right.
So we just scooped her right out.
When she starts barking, what do you do?
The girl who we're training with, she's in a class. She went through puppy training, and now she's in the next level. And she said to turn your back on her.
But you're sitting there watching TV, so that won't work.
Right. Sometimes I'll hold a pillow up in front of my face, or I'll hold the magazine or the book up in front so she can't see me. And sometimes it does work. She'll just be like, oh, well, this isn't working, and she'll go lay down.
No, she thinks you look funny.
But other times she's so persistent, and I pretty much want to bring her up.
Well, what does she know? Does she know down, stay, sit?
She knows sit and then down.
Why don't you give her something to do?
I don't think I'm being, I don't know that much about Goldens, but it sounds to me like she's asking for attention. By aggressively not paying attention to her, example from my life, but Robin, for some reason, feeds the dogs, and we have several. The dogs that make noise, she doesn't feed first. She feeds the quiet dogs first. And I say, why do you do that? Well, I'm rewarding the quiet dogs. And I said, yeah, and the noisy dogs don't stop barking just because you're not feeding them.
Right.
So feed them first. They'll shut up, and then it'll be quiet sooner. When I feed the dogs, that's what I do. I make the noisy dogs food, and I give it to them. And there's, about a minute of noise while these guys are excited, and then it's quiet, and I feed the rest of the quiet dogs. So, okay, am I a bad trainer because I'm indulging the noisy dogs? The problem with dogs barking is they are always successful, all right? Yes, they'll bark. I forgot. Somebody once clocked a dog that was left alone outside barking for like 8 hours. The dog barked for 8 hours straight.
Oh, my goodness.
And why? Because it was barking and barking, and no one came to pay attention to it, so it kept barking. As soon as somebody comes to pay attention to it, even if it's negative, what we would consider negative attention, like shut up, you stupid dog, or something like that, attention is attention to the dog, they're social animals. They want a little social interaction, and somebody coming and yelling at me is good enough. So despite the fact that the dog had gone 7 hours and 59 minutes unrewarded for barking, that one little thing is enough to keep him barking. Same with your dog. She's barking. She wants attention. And what you're doing is aggressively giving her no attention. And so that doesn't, in terms of behavior modification, these are hardwired into the dog. You're going to have a lot of trouble. So what I would do is, I mean, especially because it's a puppy, either spend a minute or two with her doing sits and downs and praising her and telling her what a good dog she is, and then giving her a bone. And then, for the next hour or two, she's going to be occupied and happy.
Yeah, that's why I said give her something to do, something to chew on, something to...
Well, I do. Sometimes I'll play go get the rope and chuck it across the room and we'll do this.
But that's... No. Not that kind of attention. Give her something that she can... Get her a femur bone, a raw femur bone, throw it in the freezer. Let her lay and chew on that.
I have 10 in my fridge. It's quiet. Looks like a binky.
That's okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
To just give that to her every time I want her to be quiet? I feel like I'm overindulging. I'm going to have a fat dog.
So you have what in your freezer?
Sorry?
What do you have in your freezer?
I buy smoked femur bones, and I have the butcher cut them in half for me.
Okay.
And I toss her a half, I give her half in the after we finish running around in the morning, and then I'll give her one later in the day. Half of one.
Well, I just save it and give it to her at the end of the day. I wouldn't give her two in a day.
Yeah, and once she gets the the fat out, stick some cheese in it. Pack some cheese in it.
Yeah, or peanut butter.
And the other thing is crunchy peanut butter. Mm-hmm. Not smooth peanut butter.
Yeah,
why,
crunchy?
You ask? Because once they get the little peanuts in their mouths, they spend a lot of time, as we do, trying to get those peanuts out.
Oh, that's so smart.
I would like to take credit for it, but it is a shelter trick that dogs that are in shelters often get crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah, and
it keeps them quiet.
I just use the raw femur bones. I don't use the smoked ones. And
the raw ones just seem so gross.
Well,
that's the only reason why I get the smoked ones.
If you take the raw ones outside.
Just put mine in the freezer, and by the time they clean them out, they're not disgusting.
Well, our dogs will take them outside and then bring them back in, and they're full of ants.
Oh, yeah.
How do all these ants get
in
here? Oh, it's the bones. But they are disgusting, but it's once they smoke these things, the bones become a little more brittle.
Right. That's why I use
a lot easier for them. A femur bone is very – even the Malamutes can't really crack them. They can get the fat out of them, but they really can't break them. So they provide hours of entertainment for the dogs.
Okay, so there's nothing wrong with giving her the raw ones.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
But put it in the freezer so that
it's harder to get out.
Stuff in the middle. Oh, marrow.
Marrow.
So the marrow freezes. But
I kept calling it fat, but you're right.
I know. But one other suggestion, and see, and don't put this, it's not like a contest between you and the dog.
Right.
But take that hour in the evening. This is what I do. I'll often sit on the floor, and that's when I groom them or brush them. Because, you know, hey, they're home alone all day. And I'm surrounded by people all day. So I may want some downtime when I get home, but their time is now with me. That's what they've been waiting for.
Yeah, I work from home. Okay. And I'm there all day with her.
So it's only in the evening that she barks at you like this?
No, she does it whenever she feels like it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I walk her for, I take her for a good walk in the morning, and then we come back and I'll give her a couple treats. I have one of those bones that you, or one of those balls you shove the treat into and they have to work to get
it out. Yeah, that's a good thing to have, yes.
Yeah, I have one of those. I fill it up with treats when I get home from our walk so I can go and, because I have to be on the phone and things like that for work. And, you know, and when she gets bored with it, she comes in there and starts yapping. So I will pay attention to her, but sometimes she just goes on these little sprees of like 15, 20 minutes solid. But, you know, I won't ignore her now. I will.
Well, you could do all these things, put her on a sit, put her on a down. The other thing you can do is train her to bark. And
speak.
Speak or what you say, right. Speak and let her bark. And I tell people in my class, if the dogs are barking, you can do almost anything to a dog if it's barking, you know, arf, 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 and it'll stop barking if just for a moment. So you can hit them on the head with a baseball bat, you can spit on them, you can say their name, you can do anything, and the dog will stop. And boy, when they stop, and I wouldn't recommend the more violent stuff, but say the dog's name, and you shove a cookie in their mouth, you know, when they stop.
Oh, okay.
But if you can say, speak, speak, and arf, 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 and then say, no speak or quiet, whatever word you want, and
right.
then you reward them. You know, they're barking, quiet, and they'll stop, and you give them a cookie.
Right.
And you start to give them the cookie before they even stop because you know they're going to stop.
Right.
If you train the dog to bark and then stop barking with two different words, then if she starts barking, you have a word so that she understands that you don't want her to bark, all right?
Okay.
If she's barking and you yell at her, why are you yelling at her? Because she's in the room, because she's sitting, because she's a golden, because she's barking.
Right.
She doesn't really, you know, the dogs aren't really smart enough to just from yelling at them say, quit barking. They go, they don't know what barking means. This way
right.
you're training her what barking means.
I'm just playing if I yell at her.
You're barking back at her.
I'm using yelling in the most general sense. I mean, you know, anything like hush or quiet.
Right, right.
I like that quiet voice.
Yeah.
I like it when you say quiet.
You have
voice.
To be careful. When dogs are barking, for example, if you run to the door, if somebody comes to the door, the dog runs to the door barking, and you run to, or you walk to the door and you say, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. The dog doesn't understand the words you're saying. It sounds to the dog like you're barking too.
Right.
So
right.
it just justifies in the dog's mind, oh, we should run to the door and bark.
Together.
Together. This is, you know, you're doing what I'm doing. They don't understand the language.
Right.
That you're saying. They just understand the voice. So when you're asking her to be quiet, Carol's exactly right. Use that very quiet, you know.
Quiet voice.
Girls always have the advantage over boys in dog training because they have nice, high,
inside
pleasant voices.
Voice.
Yeah. Jim, I just can't do it. I'm a mean guy.
Well,
but
he's not mean, but
let's
he can't
have
do.
This. Call us back next month. And we'll see where you
are. Yeah, and remember, she's a puppy.
Thank you. I keep trying to remind myself. But we had a dog that passed away that was like the perfect dog. And so I keep thinking in my head, she's no Tilly. And, you know, and I know that's terrible to do. But
she's not Tilly and she
she's
never will be.
She's a puppy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And before we run out of time, let's take one more call.
Sure.
Rossville, line two. Hi.
Hello. I have a cat and a dog. Introduction, not a problem. I'd just like to know how to, perhaps I could get them to meet and be friends. The cat is about a 12-year-old Siamese, very mellow cat. The dog is a 7-year-old Australian Shepherd who I'm not sure if he would go after the cat or not.
Who's living with you now?
We would be introducing the dog is.
Oh, the dog is you're taking in a cat.
Yeah, but we could reverse that. This is a friend's cat, so we would try to introduce it. I would assume on the cat's territory.
Cats aren't as territorial as dogs. Dogs are very territorial.
Right.
Cats are. I don't want to say they're not, but they're it's a lot different. I would take them both to the park.
A dog and a cat to the park.
Yeah. Put the cat on a lead.
Neutral territory.
Somewhere.
Okay.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be a park. It could be Sears if you want. But I wouldn't put them nose to nose or anything like that. I would just have them close together so they can smell each other and get used to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, in the house, the cat is probably, if it's coming into a new place, is probably going to hide for a while.
We did that once. I did bring the dog into the house and kept the dog on a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat actually sat there while the dog went right up and, you know, started to sniff it. And then the dog started to lurch toward the cat. And, of course, I restrained it, and the cat disappeared for quite a while.
Yeah. unless the dog is trying to kill the cat, and I don't think that will happen, the cat pretty much can take care of itself. I tell people, if you have a puppy and you have an older dog, let the cat beat up the puppy. You know,
right.
They're going to wham him on the nose. They're going to do all. They might even bite him. Let the cat do that because the puppy's impressed by those things and will leave the cat alone
for the rest of its life.
For the rest of its life, probably.
I'm not sure about this dog though, because he has. We're on a farm, and he frequently brings home rather large raccoons. So he's not easily intimidated.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not going to work with him. I would let the dog roam around, have the cat in your lap, petting it, let the dog come up and sniff it.
Okay.
And keep an eye on the dog. If the dog lurches toward the cat and you pull him back, you're just frustrating the dog.
Yeah.
And he'll just try harder the next time.
I'm trying to hold another thing. I don't know if you're too familiar with cats, but trying to hold a scared cat is a very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm.
I thought we might put the cat in a small cage, a carry cage or something like that. If that would work.
Whatever restraint you use, and I understand the problem, I would, if you put it on in a crate, I'd put it on my lap. I want you to be associated with the cat so the dog recognizes that this is your cat.
Okay.
You know, and you're touching and you're in close and you leave my cat alone.
Okay.
And that way the dog can come up and sniff and, but it will respect. Getting cats and dogs together is iffy at best.
Right.
Especially if you have a dog that's...
But if you're real scared and nervous about it, your dog will pick up on that, too.
Yeah,
right.
Keep the cat safe, but I wouldn't worry that much about the dog. I don't think he's going to try to hurt the cat.
Oh, maybe I'll try to do that. I was thinking of restraining the dog and, you know, keeping the cat in the situation, you know, like in a little cage or something.
You're just going to make the dog
run. Hold the cat while I held the dog, but maybe we should reverse that.
Yeah,
and just relax about it.
I'm not too, I don't want to lose the cat.
No.
And the cat would probably run if it was loose, but it could also...
make sure the door is closed.
It could really hurt somebody if they were trying to hang on to it. Well, thank you very, very much. I do enjoy your show.
Good.
And one comment, the lady with the dog that bites might consider that she might be in a trouble. She might have a very big lawsuit.
Oh, a biting dog is a huge liability.
People are pretty important.
Yes.
And as much as I love animals, I think she might be deluding herself and thinking she could do something with that sort of a situation.
Well, I think she's done a lot of work with the dog.
She has.
He's come a long way, and she may just have to keep him away from people until he gets a little better. I don't think that would be a big burden on her. I mean, she loves the dog, and if she has to keep him away from other folks, I'm sure she's willing to do that.
I hope she can handle it.
I hope so.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your help, and I enjoy you all the time.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Isn't it amazing how animals really pick up on
everything we do?
What we're doing.
They are keen observers of human behavior.
Our faces, our facial expressions, they see all that. You can't lie to them.
Yeah, because I know that when we're, like, maybe we're getting ready to go somewhere and we're in a little bit of a hurry, the cat's like, what's going on? What's going on here? Am I going?
That's when key apparel items seem to disappear too. Socks and things, just if I'm running a little bit late. Yeah. And Robbie's the one. He'll take those things. He thinks it's hilarious.
I have the same problem with Robin.
Well, there will
or a similar problem, I guess.
Well, there we will leave it until next month, and we'll see you guys in April. How about that?
Oh, hopefully there'll be no snow on the ground in April.
It will be the season of mud at Poker
Flats. It will be mud season.
That's right. Okay. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Jason Croft is our technical director this afternoon. Let's turn things over now to Todd Gleason. He can tell us what happened today in Chicago and in Kansas City with the grain contracts.
Yeah, they were lower today, Celeste. It's the way the numbers finished up in Chicago. Beans in expiration down $1.02 today. That's right. I read that right. $1.02 lower for the beans. We'll get to the complete numbers in just a moment. Corn was off 20 in most of the contracts. That's the limit lower there for the corn. And wheat futures finished 21.5 cents higher in the nearby March. They had a high today of $11.10 and a quarter for the soft red, and a low at 10.84 and three quarters. The settlement price 21.5 lower at 10.92 and a half. May futures from the wheat pit $11.35 the high. Below at $10.91, settlement price at $11, and a nickel down 20, and July wheat futures 10.80, the high, the low at 10.40, settled 10.68.5, down 6.5. September's 10.90, the high, the low at 54, settlement price at 10.78.5, 11.5 lower, and December futures in the wheat pit for the soft red, 10.98 and a quarter, the high, the low at 10.60 and three quarters, settlement price at 10.85, down 5.5 cents. From the corn pit in Chicago, nearby March contract, 23.5 cents lower today, 5.56 and a quarter, the high, the low at $5.28, down 23.5 at $5.33 and one half. May futures 5.66 and a half, the high, the low at 5.47 and a quarter. Settlement price at 5.47 and a quarter, down 20 cents in July futures. 5.78 and three quarters, the high. The low at $5.59. Settlement price on that low, down the 20-cent limit. September futures, 5.78 high, low at 5.59, and settlement price down the limit, down 20 at 5.59. And December contract in the corn pit, $5.79, the high. The low at 5.59 and a quarter, and settled on that limit down move at 5.59 and a quarter, 20 lower for the December futures. March futures were down 20 at 5.66 and three quarters, May down 20 at 5.72, and July at 20 lower finished at $5.74. Next year's December down 17 and a quarter for the new crop, rather the 2009 corn, at $5.35 and three quarters for the day. March oat futures 3.91, a settlement price there down 19 cents with a top of 4.10 and a bottom at 3.91, and that was also their low for the day. May futures at 3.99 and a quarter, down 20 for the day. That was the low as well. Soybean futures March contract $14.42 and a half, the high, the low at 13.41, a settlement price at $13.41. Once again, the top was up at $14.42 and one half. The loss in the nearby March contract for the soybeans, $1.02. May futures 14.61, the high, the low at $14.08 and three quarters, settlement price down 50 at $14.08 and three quarters on the low. July futures, a limit move lower, 4.21 was the low, and a settlement price at 14.71 and three quarters top. Once again, settlement at 14.21, down 50 in the July. August, 50 cents lower, 14.46 the high, the low and settlement price both at $14.10. And the September futures, 14.13 and a half, the high, the low at 13.55, settled on that low, down 50 on the afternoon. November soybeans, 50 cents lower there as well today, $13.66 and a quarter, the high, the low at 13.11 and a half. And your new crop November is now below at 13.11 and a half, down 50 for the day, down below what the crop insurance figure for that month for the new crop is, which is 13.36. January futures, a high today of 13.72. A low at 13.19 and settlement price down 50 at $13.19. March bean meal futures, a 364.90 top, bottom at 335.50, a settlement price at 339, down $28 on the day. May futures down $20 at $350.30. March bean oil at 60.25, down 3.45 for the day, with a top of 63.70 and a bottom at 60.06. and the May contract is $64.79, top bottom at $63.33. Their settlement at $63.33, down 2 cents on the afternoon in the bean oil. I return in just about 10 minutes when we'll talk this afternoon with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, about the ag futures market. That all comes up during the closing market report at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's turn our attention now to the livestock contracts and how they fared today at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. March feeder cattle, $100.70 the high, $100.25 the low. The settlement, $99.80, that up 80. April, 104 even, the high, $103.45, the low, $103.07.5, the settlement, that up 92.5. May, $107.85, the high, $107.25, the low, $107.10, the settlement, that up 55. August, $111.80, the high, 111 even, the low, 110.77.5, the settlement, that up 102.5. April live cattle, 90.60, the high, 89.77.5, the low, 89.95, the settlement, that up 50. June, 92.50, the high, 91.90, the low, 92.10, the settlement, that up 15. August, 96.50, the high, 95.65, the low, 96.20, the settlement, that up a nickel. October live cattle, 102.07.5, the high, 101.15, the low, finishing at 102.05, down 50. March pork bellies, 84.85, the high, 81.50, the low, the settlement, 84.50, that is down $3. Let me give you the high there. I don't know if I read it correctly. March pork bellies, the high today was 84.85. And then we move on to May, 88.45, the high, 84.05, the low, 87.05, the settlement, that down $3. July, 88.90, the high, 85.60, the low, 88.60, the settlement, that down $3. And August bellies, 88.50, the high, 85.20. This is pork bellies. We should have lean. We should have something else here. I think this page is written incorrectly. But anyway, August, that contract, 88.50, the high, 85.20, the low, 88.10, the settlement, that down 210. Maybe Todd can straighten us out during the closing market report as to exactly what those contracts were that I read. And March pork bellies, I do believe this is the real thing, 84.85. Yeah, those were pork belly contracts that I read you this afternoon. I don't know what the problem is there. March bellies, anyway, 84.85, 81.50, the low, 84.50, the settlement, down $3. Maybe Todd will give us the lean hog contracts and how they fared today in Chicago.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're tuned to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. Winter storm warnings are in effect for far southern Illinois until tomorrow morning and for southwestern Indiana until noon tomorrow and for south central and southeastern Indiana until tomorrow afternoon. Snow advisory is in effect in southeastern Illinois until early tomorrow morning, and a snow and blowing snow advisory is in effect for southwestern through east central Indiana through tomorrow afternoon. Mike Sola's forecast for Illinois and Indiana this afternoon: in the south and in central Indiana, cloudy with snow, heavy at times and blowing and drifting snow. In east central Illinois and from west central to northeastern Indiana, mostly cloudy with a few widely scattered flurries. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 15 in far northwestern Illinois to 37 in southwestern Illinois. There will be more on the weather during the closing market report that's coming up following news from NPR in Washington. Stay tuned.